With you back for the Tuesday edition of DV. Got to say thank you to Matthew for creating today's intro. That was some fast turnaround time. I just featured that new Brandon's mom clip. Use the Tupperware. Matthew whipped that up very quickly. Thank you so much for the great intro. Listen, we've got a busy show. It's an extended program for Sideshow Freaks. If you remember, you'll get 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes of bonus show. Classic edition of Sextastic Tuesday on deck in just a moment. But first, this is not going to be very funny, but I just have a quick announcement. A plea, really. Are you looking for a job? Are you fucking brilliant? Come work for me. That's all you need to be. Brilliant. And I will hire you on the spot. No, I'm looking for someone with a very specific skill set. And before I hire some Indian to do this, I thought I'd throw it out to my listeners. And, you know, if you have a friend or a friend of a friend or, you know, maybe you know someone, chances are you are not brilliant. You listen to this program. You do not possess really any basic skills like hygiene, let alone, you know, employable skills that I need. So here's what I'm looking for. I need someone who is a master of PHP, SQL databases. Specifically MySQL, and also PayPal integration, meaning you need to know what IPNs are, how they work, how they interact with PHP and databases, and how PayPal uses it, and all that other bullshit. So this is very important. I am willing to pay top dollar, as long as top dollar is minimum wage in your book. I realize this is probably going to set me back a few bucks. We'll talk about compensation when you email me. But it's a very important project for the future of the show. That being said, you know, I'm not expecting this thing to be done in a week or two. You know, if it takes you a couple months, if you do it during your off time or downtime or whatever, that is fine. If you know someone who is really good with PHP and SQL or SQL, whatever you want to call it, and is familiar with how PayPal works, email me or contact your friend and tell them to email me, show@distortedview.com. Again, I just wanted to throw that out there because I know a lot of people need work, and maybe you have the skills, and I'd much rather employ a freak, give my hard-earned money to a fellow freak or a friend of a freak or a relative of a freak or whatever than some fucking random Indian. And I know that's who's going to end up getting the job. You know, there's all these websites where you can post jobs that need to be done, and then contractors or whatever will bid on your project. And usually you want to go with the person who is going to do it for the smallest amount of money. That inevitably winds up being, you know, some brown dude from New Delhi who speaks in broken English. I'd much rather, I want to explain what I need. I've hired an Indian person to do something before. I can't remember what the project was. And it was okay, I guess, but it was just, you know, a chore trying to communicate with these people. I'd much rather hire American, or just at least English speaking. So there you go. It's, you know, we're hiring at Distorted View. The company's growing. Not really. I just really need some work done before my whole fucking system goes down. I'm not going to get into it. Never mind. It will bore you to tears to hear about PHP 4, 5.2, 5.4. Oh, it's so exciting. It's very interesting stuff. PHP scripts. and all that crap. All right, so just email me if you want me to bore you to tears with that information. Now let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. This is a silly bit where I simply read you a piece of erotic fiction. You know the drill by now. If you're a new listener to the program, it's not that hard to figure out. I find a real piece of porn. These stories were written to get you off, but they miss the mark for various reasons. Maybe they're gross, bizarre, or just poorly written. I then read these stories to you in a segment we call Sextastic Tuesday. Let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go!
It's Sextastic.
One sunny day in the Mushroom Kingdom. This music is going to get me. Mario and Luigi arrived at the gate to Princess Peach's castle. It's-a-me, a Mario. Are we late? Asked Mario. My Italian accent stinks, and I'm part Italian. Luigi looked at the mysterious note they found in their plumber's toolbox. It was signed by Princess Peach and asked the brothers to arrive at the castle at noon sharp. We're right on time, said Luigi. What's the next? The giant door opened, and there stood Toad, the princess's loyal retainer. Hey, guys, he said. The princess is waiting for you on the top floor of the castle. You know, that's his voice. All high. Mario and Luigi followed Toad up the winding stairs and through the brick halls until they reached the quaint purple door to Peach's private quarters. Your Highness, they've arrived! Exclaimed Toad as he knocked politely on the door. Peach's voice came through the door. Thank you, Toad. Please let them in, but do not enter the room yourself. Mario and Luigi looked at each other puzzled. As you command, Your Highness! Replied Toad. He turned the brass knob and opened the door, but stood loyally in the hall and motioned for the brothers to enter. What's going on? Asked Mario. It's-a-me! As he leaned into the empty room. Just come in, please, said Peach innocently. Suddenly, a net surrounded Mario and Luigi and pulled them up to the ceiling. Mamma mia! Exclaimed Luigi. We've been netted! As they struggled, the smell of chloroform filled the air and all went dark. Dun, dun, dun. Scene 2. The brothers came to in the castle basement in an area Mario and Luigi had never seen before. Chains hung from the walls, and instruments of torture were laid out on a small table. We're in a trouble now, Luigi, wailed Mario, pulling on the thick ropes holding them to the wall.
Hey, guys.
Mario and Luigi looked over to see Princess Peach. Instead of her trademark pink dress and golden crown, she wore tight black leather, her breasts and pussy exposed, revealing... I can't believe this story is endorsed by Nintendo of America, but it says it right here. Yes, so, instead of her trademark pink frock, she's got her fucking black leather with tits exposed, pussy just hanging out. That's not very princess-like. I wonder what kind of pussy she has. If her snatch is, like, shaven, or maybe she's got that landing strip. Maybe it's dyed to look like a mushroom.
Welcome to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Oh, it says right here she's got a petite brown bush, is how it's described. Small cuts and bruises ran down her arms and thighs from self-abuse. Welcome to Sextastic Tuesday, freaks. It's only downhill from here. She leaned over, her pink nipples erect.
Every year, I'm taken from my home, and every year you rescue me. It's time I paid you back for so many years of loyal service.
I like how her voice constantly changes. She was a tranny 20 seconds ago. All right, Peach turned around and leaned over one of the tables, perusing the various rusty blades and whips. Luigi noticed a large butt plug sitting firmly in Peach's ass, a striped raccoon-like tail hanging from it. Nice. Mario 3 reference. Mario leaned over and whispered to Luigi, "We're getting out of this predicament." That's how it was written in the story. This, A-H predicament. Mario reached into his pocket and pulled out a Starman. The brothers placed their palms on it. Instantly, strength flowed through them. Flashing with invincibility, Mario and Luigi broke the ropes and leapt over Peach and onto the table.
Oh, Mario!
Gasped Peach.
Your power overwhelms me!
dialogue straight from a Cinemax movie. What about me? Asked Luigi, offended. Peach began to fondle her breasts.
I love you too, Luigi.
Mario stepped in front of Peach and unbuttoned his overalls as Luigi undressed behind her.
Hurry, she moaned, before the star power runs out.
In nothing more than his red shirt and hat, Mario grabbed Peach by the back of her head and shoved his flashing cock into her mouth. She groaned as the pain of the invincible cock burned her throat. The flashing light from Mario's star-powered dick illuminated Peach's cheeks from inside her mouth. She groaned again when Luigi thrust his dick into Peach's ass, the power of the Starman searing the insides of her rectum. The princess has a burnt anus. Mario and Luigi began furiously pounding Peach from both ends as tears streamed down her face. She dug her nails into Mario's legs and felt nothing thanks to the power of the Starman. Peach pointed behind her towards the table of torture devices behind Luigi. Luigi understood. He grabbed a pair of small rusty scissors, oh dear, and began making small cuts on her smooth ass as he shoved his dick harder and harder into her. The small droplets of blood smeared against Luigi's abdomen. Oh no, said Luigi. He felt his invincibility running out. Hurry, Luigi, said Mario, pounding harder than ever, violently slamming Peach's head into his fuzzy crotch. Yeah, you know Mario's doesn't trim down there. Peach's nose was bleeding from the impact, covering Mario's dick in bright crimson. Suddenly, Peach let out a muffled scream as Luigi began to fire star-powered cum into her ass. The force of the ejaculation was enough to lift her ass forward, and the powerful jettison of cum into her ass lasted a full minute as Peach wept from the pain. Luigi pulled out just as the flashing invincibility left his body. Dollops of cum shoved out of her... Dollops, what a great word. Dollops of cum shoved out of her bruised asshole. Before Peach could recover, Mario shot his load. Princess Peach grinned through blood and cum.
We're not done, she said as Luigi helped her up.
Princess, I'm a spent, said Mario.
No, you're not.
She walked over and pulled a large rope hanging from the ceiling, which sounded a distant bell in the castle. Then she whispered instructions into Luigi's ear. Toad, oh no. Poor Toad. Little guy didn't have a chance. Toad came running down the basement stairs.
Yes, Your Majesty? What the fuck?
exclaimed Toad. Toad has a potty mouth. Before him sat his abused princess in tears beside Mario, his dick drenched in blood and semen.
Mario! You turncoat!
Luigi tackled Toad from behind. Hold him down, ordered Peach.
Your Highness, what are you doing?
Asked Toad as he began to cry.
Don't
be a baby, Toad, said Peach. This is what I want, and it's your duty to obey me. Toad sniffled and nodded. Mario and Luigi tied Toad to a small board and leaned him at an angle against the wall.
Fuck him while I watch, said Peach.
Well, princess is demanding. Mario straddled the board, pulled off Toad's little white pants, and forced apart his feet.
He's too small, said Mario, frustrated.
Do it, said Peach.
It'll hurt, said Toad.
But Mario covered Toad's mouth with his gloved hand to shut him up. He pushed against the mushroom retainer's tiny asshole with his dick. Muffled screams came through beneath Mario's glove, which caused Mario to squeeze Toad's face even tighter, bruising his small mushroom face. After several grunts and shoves, Mario had managed to get an inch and a half into Toad's trembling ass, gently fucking... Wow, this story really has everything. Gently fucking him at first, but increasing the rate and velocity at each thrust. Peach and Luigi furiously masturbated each other, and soon Peach brought out pieces of broken glass.
What?
Which she used to make fresh cuts into her arm and legs. I love how Princess Peach is a cutter. She'd never been so turned on in her life. Mario thrusts were getting violent now, shoving the plumber's snake further into Toad's guts. With each violent fuck, Toad let out a muffled chirp from beneath Mario's white glove.
Hurt him,
said Peach, as she built towards an orgasm. Luigi jerked off silently, happy to finally be with the princess for a change while Mario did the dirty work. Mario started slapping Toad very hard with the back of his hand, pacing himself with each thrust. Toad could do nothing but spit blood with each blow. Blood and shit was oozing from the poor retainer's ruined asshole. How descriptive. Peach stood up, tapping Luigi and pointing at Toad. Luigi nodded and walked over, straddling Toad's head and shoved his dick into Toad's bleeding mouth.
Oh, my God,
said Luigi. The blood was warm and sticky on his cock, and Toad's tiny throat felt so tight. Toad choked and coughed blood out of his nose as Luigi began thrusting deep into his throat. I love how this has turned into rape porn featuring Toad. Mario was several inches into Toad now, fucking freely, and Luigi managed to get half his dick down into the esophagus of the little fungoid. Peach began making small cuts into Toad's arm and chest, softly humming to herself and fingering her clit. She lapped some of the blood off of Toad's chest and giggled. Peach took a few steps toward the wall and jumped. There was an invisible coin block!
I've been saving this, she said.
Out of the metal block came an orange and red super mushroom. She brought it over to Mario.
You know what to do with this, don't you?
Toad lifted his head and saw the mushroom. He hyperventilated in a panic and began to struggle. Mario held the mushroom and smashed it into his dick. At that moment, his cock suddenly grew 3 times in size. Toad screamed an inhuman scream as his flesh was stretched and his insides were ripped apart. Mario began to fuck Toad's torn flesh, blood and shit leaking everywhere. Peach started biting off chunks of Toad's skin and cutting her breasts with the knife, and Toad's body stretched further and further apart as Mario's gigantic super dick tore a path through him. No! Yelled Toad as Mario made the final thrust. Gallons of mushroom-powered cum flooded through his insides, and his tiny body finally gave and suddenly exploded, each half blown apart and splashing onto the stone dungeon floor in a bloody mess of cum-soaked entrails. Yes! Exclaimed Peach as a violent orgasm shook her body. She collapsed onto the cummy remains of Toad, savoring the thick, oozy puddles of cum, blood, and shit that covered the greasy dungeon floor. Luigi laughed and played with his limp dick. The end.
Wow. Yes, it was an 8-bit orgy. I thought it would be appropriate to play this Mario porn since there's been a lot of talk about video games ever since I was singing along that stupid Mega Man 3 theme song. There you go. That's your Sextastic Tuesday for December 4th, 2012. Brought to you by our amazing partners at AdamandEve.com. For a limited time, you can get 50% off. That's half off just about any item using coupon code FREAK, F-R-E-A-K. If you've already used that coupon code or it's simply too many letters for you to remember, you can also use coupon code DV. Two little letters will save you 50% on just about any item. They're also going to throw in 3 free adult DVDs, a mystery gift, and all of that's going to be sent to you free of charge. No shipping charges. Adam and Eve has over 20,000 adult entertainment products. We're talking about DVDs, lingerie, toys for him, toys for her, lube, lingerie, etc. Now, Christmas is coming up. I keep telling you guys this is a good idea. They have crotchless panties. They have panties with zippers. You just unzip those things and slide a finger right inside your best girl's cunt. I think a sexy Christmas gift would be incredibly hot, right? I've mentioned this before. You get your girlfriend some lingerie. They've even got like red lingerie with white puffy frills. Like Mrs. Claus, if Mrs. Claus was a whore. Be creative. They also have corsets and bustiers and full body stockings if you really want to make your lady look like a fucking whore. Pick out something you like. It's a good time in the bedroom. I know a lot of you guys get a couple days off for Christmas. What better way to celebrate than fucking the hell out of one another with some new toys and stuff? Go to Adam and Eve, use coupon code FREAK or DV at checkout for 50% off just about any item. 3 free adult DVDs that you get to choose and the mystery gift, all with free shipping. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted up, fucked up, y'all, right now. Not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow? Now would be a great time to sign up. It's only $6.99 a month or $66.99 a year. That's like getting several months free. It ends up being cheaper going with the yearly rather than the monthly. But if you go with the monthly, you're paying $6.99. If you go with the yearly, you're paying $66.99. That equals out to about $5-something a month. All right, so great option. 2 great options. You get full access to the entire archive of programs. Plus, every week we do extended shows, exclusive programs, video casts, and all sorts of bonus stuff. I'm always posting stupidity on there. Today we've got an extended show for you. And, so you'll get, 10, 15, 20 minutes of bonus show. Thursday I'll be back with an exclusive program. So don't you? Oh, and this past weekend I did a weekend show. So you can also download that. Sign up right now, superfreaksideshow.com. Three quick stories, then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, you know, being a drug addict is awesome. It's so much fun to do drugs. Otherwise, you know, if it wasn't cool getting high, people wouldn't do drugs. You know, it must feel amazing, I'm guessing. But it's no fun if you do it alone. And especially if you're dating someone or are married, you really want them to experience everything you're going through. Including withdrawals and sleeping with dudes for enough money to buy blow or crack or horse. Or what I learned horse was heroin. I learned that from that old lady you featured on the show. All right, listen, today's first story comes from Washington. Bremerton, to be specific. A Bremerton man is accused of secretly slipping meth into his wife's cigarettes and a plan, a scheme, if you will, to make her join him in addiction. What a dick! Police say the man wanted his wife to experience a meth high so she'd understand why he likes it so much. And she'd get off his fucking balls about the meth already. Oh, I could just imagine how that fucking relationship went. Hey, honey, I'm going to go to the store. Can I have 20 bucks? Oh, I know what you're going to do with that money. You're not spending that money on meth. I'll go to the store. No, we need to get bread and stuff. No. You know, just awful. Just the harping and the bitching that must have went on. I would slip my wife a meth cigarette, too. Police say the man wanted his wife to experience a meth high so she'd understand why he liked it. He gave her a ciggy on Saturday that had been spiked with the drug. The newspaper reports she started freaking the fuck out, and he told her what he had done. The woman called police on Sunday, and the 20-year-old man was arrested for investigation of assault. The man had reportedly told friends he had a 15-point plan. A 15-point plan to get his wife addicted to meth. Now, to me, after reading the first point in his 15-point plan, you know, giving his wife a spiked cigarette with meth, that should be pretty much it, right? Maybe one or two more steps, but 15? Meth is supposedly a very addictive drug. After, like, the first or second time you do it, you're fucking hooked. I think the 15-point plan was to get her hooked on meth and make it so he's also not going to be blamed for it. You know what I mean? Like, I think there may have been some crafty maneuvers or something so that the wife doesn't end up hating him, which is pretty much what happened. Because why? He ended up telling. He confessed. I don't understand the idea of confession. Like, if you're already in trouble for something, deny. Don't offer up any information. They might get you on something else that they weren't even looking for. I say this all the time to criminals that I'm talking about on the show. The same could be said for guys who slip their wife meth. Oh, hello. Sorry, that was my meth dealer texting me. All right, second story we have for you today. This one comes from France. What was I just saying yesterday? I'm preparing for the end of the world on December 21st, and I laid out everything that was going to happen. Well, now who's laughing? At whom? Rumors and speculation spread by doomsday cults have turned the small farming community of Bougeroc, France, I'm sure I butchered that, into an apocalypse destination. Anyone in the vicinity of the town's nearby, oh God, Pic de Bougeroc, will supposedly be spared on December 21st, 2012. I am booking my flight now, which is going to be very difficult because I can't even say the name of the city that I'll be going to. Yes, they're all going to be spared on December 21st, 2012, the date of the Mayan apocalypse, when aliens emerge from the mountainside and rescue anyone in the vicinity. So aliens are just chilling out right now inside mountains, just waiting for the apocalypse so they can save us. What the hell are they doing in the mountains? How boring is that? All right, whatever. While the village's 176 residents may not believe this, they are more than willing to accommodate those idiots who do. As UFO watchers and Armageddon tourists flock to the town, locals are selling everything they can. From chunks of rock to water from the local spring at $20 a bottle. One landowner is even renting his house overlooking the peak for over $1,500 a night. Oh, so you can get a good look at the aliens. I possess a rare asset, he told the paper. The land of immortality. The mayor, Jean-Pierre Delorde, has requested additional police presence in the town to help deal with the influx of visitors, not to mention the aliens. They need to get the military involved. Make sure these aliens are on the up and up. Make sure they're on our side and they're going to save us and they're not actually a part of the apocalypse. You know? Let's be very careful. Oh, yeah, I love the idea of aliens coming to save us, but they may have ulterior motives. You know what I mean? These could be some of the bad aliens. You know, not like E.T. This could be like the movie. Fucking, what's that movie? Aliens. It's Sigourney Weaver. You know what I mean? Like, they open their mouth and they fucking drip acid. Although, you know, if a little alien waddles out with a finger that's lit up, and he, you know, talks in an adorable way, like, friend, you know, whatever, I think we're safe. We can easily tell good aliens from bad aliens, normally, right? Again, thank you, Hollywood. Dripping acidic saliva? Bad aliens. Look like fucking skeletal reptiles? Bad aliens. If they're fluffy, they're good. I'm going to write a quick apocalypse guide for everyone. All right, final story we have for you today. Guards at the Sampson Correctional Institution in North Carolina have been accused of forcing inmates to rub habanero hot sauce on their testicles. Prisoners at the facility, it's, you know, part of the inmate Olympics they were having there. It sounds like fun. Prisoners at the facility also say guards made them throw captured bunnies into oncoming traffic, kiss wild snakes, strip naked hot, and pretend to have sex. In a letter written by six inmates to the U.S. District Court in Greensboro, they ask for assistance in finding lawyers to help them bring charges against the state. They said the guards made them gulp exotic hot sauce and slather it on their genitals, which resulted in painful blisters. If they performed for guards, they would be rewarded with food, cigarettes, beer, and preferential work assignments. Oh, I would totally do that. Come on. You get naked with a couple inmates and pretend to have sex? Sounds great. You know? And then in return, you get cigarettes and extra food and easy work assignment. Samson is immediate. I mean, if you're if this is a normal prison and they don't have these shenanigans going on, how the fuck do you get cigarettes and food? You don't. If you're playing by the book, inmates don't get cigarettes. This is the one way you can actually get cigarettes legally. And all you have to do is rub hot sauce on your genitals. It makes perfect sense to me. Sampson is a medium/minimum security prison and has the capacity for 464 inmates. It employs around 190 members of staff. So there you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right. Checking in with my freaks today.
Hi, Jimmy Boo. This is Eric. One of your listeners.
Hi, Eric.
I got a joke for you. What did Helen Keller say whenever she put down the cheese grater?
Yeah.
That's the most violent thing I've ever read. Love you, Jimmy Boo. Bye-bye.
See, she wouldn't have... I get the joke. She wouldn't say anything because she's deaf and whatever. But I think she could make some noise. You know what I mean? I've heard deaf people have sex. They fuck some noise right out of those fucking tards. You know what I mean? All of a sudden they can speak. Not well, but they can grunt and moan and stuff.
Hey, Timmy, it's Greg from Austin. I hate to be pedantic, but I'm going to be. I'm listening to the Tuesday 1120 show.
Uh-oh.
And you played that horrendous, horrendous cover song of Call Me Maybe with the lady, I guess, who cloned her voice over a bunch. Don't get me wrong, really, really bad, but I don't think that should be considered a Linda Fekel Hall of Fame nominee because, I don't know, I kind of feel like those Linda Fekel songs or nominees ought to be originals. Because we've heard people cover songs.
Well, now that's interesting. That's an interesting distinction I don't think we've ever made before. Can a Linda Fekel Hall of Fame nominee sing other people's work, do covers?
Songs that are... Well, I hate to use the word good for a song like Call Me Maybe, but at least it made money. But
right.
very popular anybody song. Anybody can do a shitty cover.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. I just never really thought about it like that before. But now that, I mean, you're making a lot of sense here. I don't think covers should be able to, you know, people who sing just covers should be able to join the Linda Finkel Hall of Fame either. So maybe you're right. I'll stop calling those nominees, I guess.
Timmy Boo, you know the best part about that joke is my mom told it to me, and she is a pediatrician.
Wait, what fucking joke are you talking about? Did you call in twice or something? Oh, yeah, but here. This is the joke. I didn't play this.
Hey, Tim, how do you make a dead baby float?
How do you make a dead baby float? I don't know.
Ginger ale, ice cream, two scoops of dead baby.
Okay, very good. What are you, high or something? This is a weird way of speaking.
Tim, just because Mr. Know-It-All, Haley's Comet, doesn't think that Zeitgeist is a legitimate movie, that doesn't mean that you still shouldn't watch it.
Okay.
You know, he may believe in...
All right, fuck, I'll watch the goddamn movie! Jesus Christ!
You know...
I never watch anything you people suggest to me. Why would I start now? Stupid Zeitgeist. But you people just won't leave me alone. Well, this stupid movie. I will watch it. All right? Enough. I don't care what... I honestly don't care Haley's Comet's opinion or your opinion. I'll watch what I want to watch. Whatever. Yeah, I'll check it out. By the way, Haley's Comet is also now writing for the Distorted View blog at blog.distortedview.com. He joins Critical Sadness in posting funny videos and stuff like that. So if you'd like to join, someone else wanted to, and I didn't know who he or she was, and I don't know. If you've called into the show and I sort of know you, then I probably will let you write then, you know, for the blog. But if I don't know you, if you're just some random schlub, I'm going to be a little more leery. Because, you know, if I let the wrong person start writing, there's going to be 20,000 posts in a row that just says nigger, 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 or something.
Hey, Timmy Boo. This is Gary the Gorgile over in Sacramento.
Are you in a balloon? Are you in the air right now or something?
I just wanted to tell you a real quick story. I was in my office making duties in the toilet, and there was a guy in the wheelchair, or in the handicap stall, and he has a wheelchair, and I could see the wheelchair from under the side of the walls. And this morbidly obese guy who just got hired comes in, and he doesn't fit in the normal stall. Well, he could fit, I think, but I think his sides would touch the walls of
the
stall.
Be very snug.
So he's walking in, and I see his shoes, and he's right up against the door of the handicap stall, and he's knocking. And he's like, you know, these things should be reserved for people who really need them. And he doesn't know that we have a handicapped guy who uses a wheelchair.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Being a fucking fat ass does not make you handicapped.
So
did it yourself.
I was done, but I had to stay put because I had to see how this was going to go.
Yeah.
So after a while, I hear the wheelchair guy finish up.
I love that the wheelchair guy did not respond at all to the fat ass. You know what I mean? Just waited for that great moment when he could open the door and his, you know, mangled body rolling around could be revealed.
And he gets back on his wheelchair. He's wheeling out, and he wheels past the huge guy, the morbidly obese guy, and he doesn't say anything. He kind of just glares. I'm washing my hands at this point, just watching them. And the morbidly obese guy looks down at the ground like, oh, my God, I just gave shit to a dude in a wheelchair for using the handicap stall.
I hope he felt like shit.
And my handicap is that I can't stop eating. And it was...
It's a real affliction.
It was beautiful. And... in his realization of how much of a bastard he was. The wheelchair guy said nothing. He was cordial. He just...
Man, I love shitting in the handicap stalls, though. There's so much space. It's like being upgraded at a hotel or something. You know what I mean? To a suite. I mean, I know there's the off chance a real handicap person could come in and they'd be pretty pissed off at me. But, I mean, are those spots really only for handicapped, or is it like one of those like preferential things? Like when you're on a city bus or something, you know, you can like sit on those front seats. But if there's like an old person or a gimped up person who needs a seat, you're supposed to get up for them. Is that like the handicapped stall the same idea? Like if a handicapped person started knocking on the stall and said, "I really need to go," I could probably, you know, just get up with the pants around my ankle and like shift over to a stall or something. I wouldn't mind doing that, but I love using the handicap stalls. Oh, it's very spacious. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD. Is it no God? Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. If you're sideshow freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, I'll see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. Till then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Sound speaks louder words sometimes, but not everybody listens. Be known to all who want to shut your mouth. Sound speaks louder words sometimes, but not everybody listens. Be known to all who want to shut
My name is Tim Henson, the new face of genital herpes.